Hello friends, we come to the last topic of discussion in our topic on logistics and distribution management, and it is a chapter by the name of Incoterms. This is related to international trade and commerce, and in this chapter we are going to go through some of these Incoterms as they are defined as per international law, and we will finally conclude our discussion on the whole book and have a short, very short summary as to what we have tried to understand in the last 17 chapters. So here we go. The Incoterm rules or the international commercial terms are a series of predefined commercial terms published by the International Chamber of Commerce that are widely used in international commercial transactions or procurement processes. The Incoterms are a series of three-letter trade terms related to common contractual sales practices. The Incoterm rules are intended primarily to clearly communicate the tasks, costs, and the risks associated with transportation of delivery of goods. In international transportation, when you have things moving between countries, there can be a lot of confusion if these internationally accepted terms are not used. So when you say upper Incoterm, for example, FOB, like free on board. Now, whatever free on board means will mean the same thing to a person in South Africa. It will mean the same thing to a person in South Korea. So that is the reason why you have these things which are defined globally. The Incoterm rules are accepted by governments, legal authorities and practitioners worldwide for the interpretation of most commonly used terms in international trade. They are intended to reduce or remove altogether uncertainties arising from different interpretation of the rules in different countries. As such, they are regularly incorporated into sales contracts worldwide. First published in 1936, the Incoterm rules have been periodically updated, with the 8th version, Incoterms 2010, having been published on 1st January 2011. Incoterms is a registered trademark of the ICC. This is not the International Cricket Council, but the International Chamber of Commerce. Incoterms 2010 defines 11 rules, reducing the 13 used in Incoterms 2000 by introducing two new rules. General notes: Incoterms divide the cost, risks and responsibilities between the buyer and seller. It focuses on seller's delivery obligations. It can be modified as long as the buyer and seller agree and it is documented. Important changes from 2010: Incoterms 2010 contains 11 terms of delivery. DAF, DES, DDU and DEQ have been removed. DAP and DAT are new and have been added. Container arrival costs are not expressed. Incoterms inform the sales contract by defining the respective obligations, costs and risks involved in the delivery of goods from the seller to the buyer, and also it holds the shipper also in contract because the shipper also has certain duties. Incoterms 2010, transfer of risk from the seller to the buyer. So you have the CIF, CFR, DAT, FOB. So you will understand this once you go through the, you know, the terms as we define them there. So you have the buyer here, the seller, seller here and the buyer here. So you have the carrier takes it to the port. So if you just deliver it at the port, you have the freight on board services. So insurance and transports are not paid. However, if you have a CIF contract, transportation and insurance is paid and arranged by the seller. Now, there are certain exceptions, certain things which the Incoterms do not do. Incoterms do not dictate the terms and conditions of carriage, convey the title to the point of sale of goods. It does not address the concept of revenue recognition. Revenue recognition, very briefly, is a concept which means that your revenue or sale is only recognized if your customer has received the goods. till then you cannot recognize the revenue. That is why companies have to add the transit time to their date of invoices and reverse entries if they find that they have sold a particular material in a particular month, but they will not reach the customer within that particular month. Include all of the duties of the buyer and seller. It automatically does not apply unless it is explicitly given in the contract. It does not deal with a breach in contracts. It does not speak about payment disputes between the buyer and the seller. Incoterms are not law. Incoterms must be specified in the sales contract in order to be applicable. All-inclusive detailed situations beyond the scope of Incoterms must be covered elsewhere in the sales contract. Now, Incoterms and their full forms. EXW, Ex Works, means that the seller's only responsibility is to make the goods available at the seller's premises, factory or the warehouse. FCA or free carrier, this term has been designed to meet the requirements of multimodal transport such as container, roll-on or roll-off traffic. FOR or FOT mean free on rail or free on truck. Both refer to goods being carried by rail and should only be used when the goods are carried by rail. So you will see in certain Incoterms are only meant for sea transport, maritime transport. Certain Incoterms like this FOR is only meant for railway transport. But there are certain Incoterms which can be applicable to both multiple types of transport like CIF, sea as well as air. FAS, free alongside ship, requires the seller to deliver the goods alongside the ship on the quay. FOB, under the FOB or free on board, the goods are placed on board the ship by the seller at a port of shipment named in the sales agreement. FOB airport, it is similar to the FOB term. The seller fulfills its obligation by delivering the goods to the air carrier at the airport of departure. Also note that many of these Incoterms like FOB airport, CNF, etc. should always be ending with the name of the port. So when you say FOB, Busan, so Busan is a port in South Korea. So you are saying your supplier who is in South Korea has a responsibility to come and bring it to the port and the ship in a port in Busan. So that is also clearly communicated. Just the term FOB will not be good enough. CNF or cost and freight requires the seller to pay the costs and freight necessary to bring the goods to the named destination. CIF means cost, insurance and freight is C&F, the earlier Incoterm, with the additional requirement that the seller procure transport insurance against the risk of loss or damage. So if you are a purchaser, if you are a buyer of material, this is the best Incoterm you can get. So providing your cost remains the same, you would definitely choose to have a CIF wherein your insurance and freight is covered, all risks are covered, rather than an FOB contract wherein you have to bear the freight. CPT or freight carriage paid to, this term means the seller pays the freight for the carriage of the goods till the named destination port. CIP or freight carriage and insurance paid to, this term is the same as freight carriage paid to, but with the additional requirement that the seller has to procure transport insurance against the risk of loss or damage to the goods during carriage. DDP or duty delivery paid, it represents the seller's maximum obligation. This term DDP is generally followed by words indicating the buyer's premises. The seller bears all the risks and costs until the goods are delivered to the buyer's premises in the said country of destination. DAP or delivered at place, seller's risks end when the goods are placed at the disposal of the buyer on the arriving means of transport ready for unloading. DAT or delivered at terminal, seller's risks end once the goods are unloaded from the arriving means of transport and placed at the disposal of the buyer at the named terminal at port or place of destination. So just to clarify these points again, Ex Works, as we read, the seller makes the goods available at his or her premises. The buyer is responsible for uploading. This term places the maximum obligation on the buyer and the minimum obligation on the seller. The Ex Works term is often used when making an initial quotation for the sale of goods without any cost included. Ex Works means that a seller has the goods ready at the collection at his or her premises on the date agreed upon. So in Ex Works, the buyer pays all the transportation costs and also bears the risks for bringing the goods to their final destination. So as a buyer, this is the worst possible Incoterm that you can arrange, unless of course you are aware that the seller is not capable of doing his other Incoterm transactions in good efficient measure, and you are ready to take the risks and the cost associated with EXW Incoterm. The seller does not load the goods on the collecting vehicles and does not clear them for export. If the seller does load the goods, he does so at the buyer's risk and cost. Free carrier, the seller delivers the goods cleared for export to the buyer designated carrier at the named port. This is used for any mode of transport. The seller must load the goods onto the buyer's carrier. The key document signifying the transfer of responsibility is the receipt by the carrier to the exporter. CPT, carriage paid to, the seller pays for carriage. Risk transfers to buyer upon handling the goods over to the first carrier at the place of shipment in the country of export. This term is also used for all kinds of shipment. CIP, or carriage and insurance paid, the containerized transport multimodal equivalent to CIF. The seller pays for carriage and insurance to the named destination port. But important, the risk passes when the goods are handed over to the first carrier at the first instance. That delivery at terminal, the seller delivers when the goods, once unloaded from the arriving means of transport, are placed at the buyer's disposal at a named terminal at the named port or place of destination. Terminal includes any place, whether covered or not, such as a quay, warehouse, container yard or road, rail or air cargo terminal. The seller bears all the risks involved in bringing the goods to and unloading them at the terminal at the named port or place of destination. DAP, delivery at place, deliver at place, can be used for any transport mode or where there is more than one transport mode. The seller is responsible for arranging the carriage and for delivering the goods ready for unloading from the arriving conveyance at the named place. An important difference from deliver at terminal, that where the seller is responsible for the unloading, here he is not. DDP, delivery duty paid. Seller is responsible for delivering the goods to the named place in the country of the buyer and pays all costs in bringing the goods to the destination, including import duties and taxes. The seller is not responsible for unloading. This term is often used in place of the non-Incoterm free in store, which has now been abandoned. This term places maximum obligations on the seller and minimum obligations to the buyer. Sea and inland waterway transport. To determine if a location qualifies for these four rules, please refer to the United Nations Code for Trade and Transport Locations. FAA's free alongside ship. The seller must place the goods alongside the ship at the named port. The seller must clear the goods for export. Suitable only for maritime transport but not for multimodal transport. This term is typically used for heavy lift or bulk cargo. Free on board, very popular, perhaps equally popular as CIF today. The buyer must advance government tax in the country of origin as a commitment to load the goods on board a vessel designated by the buyer. Cost and risk are divided when the goods are actually on board the vessel. The buyer must clear the goods for export because he did not pay the goods in the country of origin. The term is applicable for maritime and inland waterway transport only and not for multimodal sea transport in containers. The seller must instruct the buyer the details of the vessel and the port where the goods are to be loaded, and there is no reference to or provision for the use of a carrier or forwarder. This term has been greatly misused over the last three decades, ever since Incoterms 80 explained that FCA should be used for container shipments. It means the seller pays for the transportation of goods to the port of shipment, including loading cost. The buyer pays the cost of maritime freight, transportation insurance, uploading and transportation costs from arrival port to the final destination. The passing of the risk occurs when the goods are in buyer's account. CFR cost and freight, seller must pay the cost and freight to bring the goods to the port of destination. However, the risk is transferred to the buyer once the goods are loaded onto the vessel. Insurance is not included. This term was formerly known as CNF or cost and freight. Maritime transport only. This is used in maritime transport only. CIF. So, CIF named port. So, when you are bringing a goods into Mumbai, for example, you can say CIF Navasheva means same as CFR, except the seller must also additionally pay for insurance. Maritime transport, it means the seller delivers when the goods passes the ship's rail in the port of shipment. The seller must pay the cost and freight necessary to bring the goods to the named port. The port of destination, but the risk of loss or damage as well as any additional cost due to the events occurring after the time of delivery are transferred from the seller to the buyer. The seller has to buy marine insurance on minimum cover only. For greater cover, special arrangement is required or agreement is required between the seller and the buyer. DAF, delivered at frontier, this term can be used when the goods are transported by rail or road. DES, delivered ex ship, where goods are delivered ex ship, the passing of risk does not occur until the ship has arrived at the named port of destination and the goods are made available for unloading to the buyer. The seller pays the same freight and insurance cost as he would under a CIF arrangement, but unlike CFR and CIF, the seller has agreed to bear not just the cost but also the risk and title up to the arrival of the vessel at the named port. Delivered ex ship, cost for unloading the goods and duties are on account of the buyer. This is a commonly used term in shipping bulk commodities such as coal, grain, dry chemicals, and where the seller either owns or has chartered their own vessel. Delivered ex qui, this is similar to DES, but the passing of risk does not occur until the goods have been unloaded at the port of discharge. DDU, delivered but duty unpaid. This term means the seller delivers the goods to the buyer at the named port of destination in the contract of sale. A transaction in international trade where the seller is responsible for making a safe delivery of the goods to a named destination, paying all the transportation expenses but not the destination duty. The seller bears the risks and costs associated with supplying the goods to the delivery location, where the buyer becomes responsible for paying the duty and other customs clearing expenses. It must be noted that Ex-Works, CPT, CIF, DAF, DDU and DDP can be used from any mode of transportation. FAS, FOB, CFR, CIF, DES and DEQ are used for sea and inland modes only. So, thus if you look it into a chart, this chart basically gives on these particular headings how these Incoterms stand. So, for example, if you take a Incoterm of CIF, loading on transport vehicle, yes. Yes, so everything is there except unloading in importing port, loading to the transport vehicle at importing port, etc. All these are not covered, the rest are all covered. So, this chart gives you a good idea as to what are the various things associated with each of these concepts. So, that was all to do with Incoterms per se. So, before we conclude our discussions in logistics, let's look at one or two very important concepts which you just briefly need to know, and then we conclude our discussions. Quick response logistics, an outgrowth of the JIT philosophy, is QRL, fast and responsive system. QRL is the umbrella term for information systems and JIT logistics systems that combine to provide the right product in the right place at the right time. Barcodes, EPOS systems have facilitated the emergence and growth of the QRL concept. Demand has to be captured as close to the real time as possible and as close to the final consumer as possible. Logistical response and planning is thus very quick as the information is real and available in quick time. The initial investment in technology is high, but the advantages outweigh the investments made, especially in the long term. Substitution of inventory by information, PO, point of sale data. So what earlier organizations would do, since the visibility in the secondary and the tertiary market was limited, they would pump inventory. They will pump and pump inventory, assuming whenever the demand comes, my product is there. That's a good technique to capture sales, but the cost of inventory eats into your profits. So when you have POS data, you can quickly respond to the demand and not unnecessarily pre-produce and pre-place material. Retail chains, fashion companies have garnered the maximum benefits of this along with FMCG companies. Salesforce have been equipped with modern technology like PalmTops, etc., to capture real-time sales data, which is then transmitted to the planners and other supply chain partners. Another key concept is Vendor Managed Inventory, VMI. In a traditional scenario, a customer places order on a supplier. Now, the supplier might not be aware about the customer's demand, and thus either supply will not happen or there will be too much inventory. End result is that customer service is negatively affected. Customer shares his sales and other related information with the vendor. This includes sales, promotional campaigns, inventory on hand, etc. The vendor and the customer agree at inventory levels to be maintained, and thus orders are shipped on the basis of replenishment levels. So when you know what your customer is selling at a particular shop, you have defined the minimum, you know, reorder levels and the minimum order quantity that will be kept. The moment you see the customers, the, you know, for SKUA, the stock has come below that particular level, you will automatically ship out. You have an agreement in place wherein separate purchase order is not required, or there is a blanket PO which keeps on regenerating new, you know, new iterations of a PR and a PO as and when the demand is generated in the system. It is a responsibility of the vendor or the supplier to maintain the customer's inventory within the defined limits. For the customer, this means less inventory, improved cash flow, and less stockouts. For the vendor, this means better forecasts and hence more supply chain efficiencies like capacity utilization, reduced inventory, etc. Strategies for quick response. Manufacturing process efficiencies are the key to flexibility in the product supply process. New technology in the setup, example, automated packing lines, etc. SMED, single minute exchange of die, preventive maintenance, postponement of the final production till the last stage, etc. are ways by which companies can bring about flexibility within their supply chain. Made to order vis-a-vis made to stock concept in planning. Product classification and use of 80-20 Pareto principle will help. Now, all this goes back to the concept of supply chain integration. Integration within the organization as well as outside the organization is of paramount importance. Upstream integration with the suppliers and downstream integration with distributors and customers. The main methods by which this can be done is as follows. Supply chain integration. Firstly, supply base rationalization. Too many or too less suppliers is bad. The earlier philosophy of more the merrier is no longer valid. The idea is to have a few but good quality suppliers for specified product categories. Supply development programs. The concept of lowest cost squeezing is replaced by a more collaborative or a win-win approach. Supplier involvement in product design. Many innovations in the car industry or the auto industry is supplier driven. Suppliers can be brought into the product design stage. A lot of cost can be saved. This means that when you are developing a new product, before you finalize on something, if you can get your key suppliers to come and validate if they will be able to help in the process or whether they will be able to supply that component or change to your customized design requirement at an earlier stage of product development, the better it is for your later supply chain efficiency. Integrated information systems, the use of electronic data interchange plus JIT concepts have made the use of robust IT systems a must for leading organizations. Centralization of inventory, dedicated factories and keeping only small quantities at the small warehouses and distribution locations. Collective strategy development, effective communication between marketing, supply chain and other functions to work towards organization goals. Very, very important. The process of the SNOP, the monthly sales and operations planning, where you have sales and marketing and operations coming together to finalize the demand and supply pool. That's very, very important. Win-win thinking to discard adversarial nature of the buyer-supplier relationship that existed in the past. This results in better cooperation and enhanced performance. And very important, open communication. With the use of EDI and transparency in sharing communication, this leads to improved service level and cost reduction. We see in the world today, unfortunately, with the email has brought a revolution in itself. It's something that we cannot live without. But again, unnecessarily and overt use of the email is at times detrimental to business interests. People should just not pass and forward emails and shirk off from their responsibilities. It does not negate the use of open, clear communication. For things that need urgent communication, urgent decisions where things are very complicated, talking to your colleagues, talking to your suppliers will yield much better and faster results than emails and formal modes of communication. Another important concept is co-makership. Co-makership can be defined as the development of a long-term relationship with limited number of suppliers on the basis of confidence. This assumes that the supplier is an extended arm of the customer's plant. Benefits of co-makership: shorter delivery lead times, reliability of delivery, less schedule disruption, lower stock levels, faster implementation, less quality issues and stability of prices. So co-makership and conventional purchasing dynamics, the tenure of relationships, variable. In co-makership it's long term. So order quantity, conventional purchasing was order a lot more to get good prices. Here we are talking about small ordering, transportation strategy, FTLs, co-makership, just in time. So various ways in which, co-makership is beneficial. Warehousing, you earlier needed large warehouses, now you can even do with small but flexible warehousing. So, to summarize activities of logistics management, there are essentially two decisions about a supply chain. One is a strategic decision in nature, which designs the best structure for the supply chain. And the other is all about the execution, the most efficient way to move the materials. Harrington summarizes this dual role by saying that logistics is both the glue that holds the chain together and the grease that speeds the product flow along with it. So you can understand the paramount importance of logistics, that it plays a very important role in supply chain management. It's so diverse that it's both the glue as well as the lubricant. So to summarize the activities of logistics: supply chain design, the strategic function that finds best structure for the supply chain, length, breadth, location. In terms of procurement and purchasing, purchase orders and coordinating the incoming material flow into the organization. Inward transportation, suppliers to the organization. Warehousing, receiving incoming goods, storing them properly, ensuring speedy outbound movement. Good inventory control, set of rules for stock management, including stock levels, reorder points, etc. Order processing, receiving orders, entering them in the system, credit checks, invoicing. So in total, good customer order management. So you have the order management here, your forecasting, DRP, production schedule. So you get the order here, forecasting goes DRP. The production schedule, material requirement plan, if you check with the bill of materials, if material is there, you go for production, if materials are required, you go to procurement and bring the materials. Transportation, freight negotiation, transporter relationship management, ensuring timely presence of vehicles for speedy logistics. recycling, returns, reverse logistics, materials back from customers. At times, this also includes recycling of packing material like IBCs. Communication is important as the flow of goods. Effective communication is the mantra for success for any logistics manager. Depending on the circumstances, some other activities can be a part of supply chain like outsourcing, third-party manufacturing, production scheduling, etc. So, logistics management as a concept has been in vogue for a long time, although it has been recognized as a separate discipline for the last 10 to 20 years. The most important thing which logistics management provides an organization with is the competitive advantage. It can be defined as the process of strategically managing the procurement, movement and storage of materials and related information flows throughout the organization so that profitability is maximized by a cost-efficient fulfillment of customer orders. The competitive advantage in 3 C's, customers, company and the competitor. The source of competitive advantage flows from the ability of the company to distinguish itself in the eyes of its customer from the competition. Also, the aim should be to gain advantage out of lower costs and hence the bottom line, hence greater profits. Successful companies have either a productivity advantage or a value advantage. Most companies will like to encash both these advantages to maximize their profits. The productivity advantage stems from economies of scale. You produce more, you save on costs. Whereas the value advantage is that customers don't buy products, they buy the package, product plus delivery. Commodities are not valued highly. Additional value either by the product characteristics or by the delivery policies will make the difference. So the mission of logistics management is to plan and coordinate all those activities necessary to achieve the desired levels of delivered service and quality at the lowest possible cost. Logistics is thus the important link between the marketplace and the operating or the manufacturing activity of the business. So it's a field of management which primarily deals with coordination of resources in an organization. These resources may be in the form of men, money, materials, etc. As such, there are delays in completion of projects, so thus it becomes very important to have efficient logistics management. So it also involves the coordination of many functions of the procurement of raw material, their handling and storage. And the problem becomes increasingly complex as the volume of business grows and the distance between the procurement center, production center and the market consumption of the product keeps on increasing. So logistics and supply chain synonymous. At times both these terms are used synonymously, which is not correct. Logistics is a part or a subset of supply chain. The supply chain is a network of organizations that are involved through upstream and downstream linkages and produce value for the ultimate customer. The concept can be used both internally as well as externally. So there are, broadly speaking, 3 pillars of supply chain: procurement, which is buying, planning of demand and supply, and which also includes manufacturing, and finally logistics, which is the distribution or the outbound part. Significance of logistics. Logistics has the awkward feature of being both essential as well as expensive. It directly affects an organization's competitiveness, performance, customer satisfaction, operating costs and profit. Thus, it is very important because of the following main reasons. It is essential as all organizations rely on the movement of materials. It is very expensive and proper management is required to get your budgeted profits. Strategically important as a decision taken in supply chain sphere can have long-term impact. So where you decide to set up your manufacturing plant, where you decide to set up your warehouse, this is very important because these decisions can't be done away. You know, it's like I can't throw away my warehouse tomorrow if I wish it so today. So all these have long-term impacts and need to be correctly analyzed and defined. Major point of contact with suppliers, defining relationship with the upstream linkages. Major point of contact with customers. So you have this function which is both interacting with the suppliers as well as your customers. Logistics performance determines customer satisfaction to a great extent. You might have beautiful products, they might have good shelf lives, etc. But if your logistics delivery performance is bad, you will not be able to prosper. So future trends, logistics is going through a process of great change and rapid improvisations. Web-based e-shopping, etc. is making great strides. Recognition that logistics is a very important driver of organizational success. Globalization and free trade agreements have led to a spurt in imports-export requiring specialized knowledge and people with specialized knowledge in logistics. It is no longer a function where you can transfer people from any other department and they can run logistics. It's a specialized function. It's a specialized management discipline where you do your post-graduation and come to work in. Technological advancement in material handling, increasing competition in the global scenario leading to pressure on supply chain to improve and be efficient, organizations focusing on core jobs, outsourcing logistics to third-party providers, concern for the environment and green logistics. Some changing practices, huge concern for the environment, so you need to reduce your carbon footprint so that your customers will value you highly. Rise of large conglomerates who have absorbed many smaller companies, changes in the manufacturing process like JIT, postponement, finalizing the packaging at the last stage where order is confirmed, cross-docking, etc. So all these are the changing trends in logistics and supply chain management. So thus, we study what Incoterms are. These are specialized, you know, international trade parlances, and we end today's chapter with a conclusion as to some concepts like vendor managed inventory, and we have summarized what supply chain and logistics is. So overall, this was a very crisp and hurried, you can say, study of logistics through 18 chapters. Nothing can compare this with the practical knowledge which you all have or you would get in the future. These are certain theoretical knowledges, wherever possible, enmeshed with practical experiences that all of us have. But at the end of the day, always keep your mind open. Logistics and supply chain is an ever-changing discipline. Things what we are seeing today might not be there in the future. So keep this information in mind, and as you work, as you study more, you will become much more refined in your understanding of logistics and supply chain management. Thank you for listening, and I hope you all will gain advantage out of these lectures and this book on logistics and distribution management.